So last night, something pretty neat happened in the night sky. Linda reminded me of it, and our family saw it too. Did anyone else witness what they saw, what the event was in the night sky last night? No? We had the International Space Station went right overhead last night in the night sky. This bright light just kind of floating across, and so thinking of ascension and the disciples standing around looking up into heaven. That's what we were doing last night. We're all kind of, staring up into heaven, watching the space station go by. So much of human interest and excitement stems from staring up into the sky, I think. You think of all of the ages and ages of people who have looked at the stars, either through telescopes or just with their eyes or however. Those who determined that some of the shapes form animals and things like that and started naming them. So much, we just stare up into the sky so often and just look at God's amazing creation. And when we were up, of course, up north, we had the northern lights. And so some nights you just stand out in the freezing cold, staring up at the sky, watching the colors all over the place and the lights dancing. And so much, I think, so much of our time we spend staring up into the sky. The disciples were staring up into the sky as Jesus ascended and went into heaven and was taken from their sight, and they couldn't see him anymore, and yet they still stood there staring into the sky until somebody came up, tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, what are you guys doing staring up into the sky? You got things to do. You can't be just standing around here all day. Besides, Jesus said he's going to come back, and you'll see that when he comes back. You don't have to stand here waiting around staring up into the sky." We get distracted, I think, staring up into the sky. Not in the sense of, you know, looking for the International Space Station or looking for the Northern Lights, but a lot of times we just sort of stand around wondering what to do. What's next? Especially in the last year and in most recent weeks, we're still left wondering what's next? What are we supposed to do? Do we wear masks? Do we not wear masks? Can we gather? Can we not gather? Can we do this? Can we not do this? We don't know. And so we kind of spend our days spinning our wheels, staring into the sky, wondering what's next? What are we supposed to do? And Jesus, when he gives his message to his disciples as they're waiting to see what's next, he says, these are the things that are going to happen next. You are going to be in Jerusalem, and you're going to wait there until the Lord clothes you with power from on high. What that looks like, we don't know. Maybe that's what the disciples were waiting for, standing around waiting for, you know, something to come down from heaven to clothe them with power. But then Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. And you're going to preach the gospel of forgiveness of sins to all of the ears that need to hear it. And this is what you're going to do next. But what Jesus didn't tell them is what everybody was waiting for. And that was, when? When's the next thing going to happen? When's the next time the space station's going to fly over? When's the next time we're going to be able to see, you know, meteors in the night sky or something like that? We don't always know when. They sort of just happen. The disciples were wondering when. When was this going to happen? And besides that, they were still wondering if Jesus was going to establish Jerusalem as the kingdom, as the throne of God's kingdom was going to be in Jerusalem. Are you going to do that now, Jesus? They still weren't quite getting it. And so they were sort of confused, waiting around to see what was next. And I think, too, the church, we, as the assembled body of Christ, a lot of times are left kind of waiting to see what's next. What's next for us to do? I mean, we've done so much up until now. What do we do next? And sometimes we just have to wait. And we've been doing that. We've been waiting. And I think most of us have been waiting fairly patiently. Some of us not as patiently, but some waiting fairly patiently. We're waiting for what's next. What's next for us for worship? But we can get distracted by that. We can get concerned about little things. This mask is a little thing. The big things are there are still ears out there that need to hear the gospel. There are still those in our families that need to know about the forgiveness of sins and salvation. There are still people that are without the knowledge of Christ. And we're called to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, Eugene, Oregon's pretty far away from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And maybe would have been considered the ends of the earth for the disciples. But there are still those that need to hear. There are kids, grandkids, great-grandkids that need to hear the gospel, that need to hear it shared in words. And so, as witnesses of that, that's what's next. And that's always what's next. I want to say it like that. That's always what's next. So if you're ever wondering, what's next for me as the church, what's next for me as I serve, that's always what's next. And that's actually always what there is to do. All of these other things are good and great and fun and worshipful and exciting and distracting and confusing, but there's one thing that is always, and that's the sharing of the gospel, the spreading of the word. And because Jesus knew that the disciples weren't going to be able to do it on their own, he said, I'm going to promise to send the Holy Spirit, the one who's going to guide you into all truth. And next week when we celebrate Pentecost, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see the Holy Spirit at work, the Holy Spirit coming down and clothing the disciples with power from on high. But you and I, we don't have to wait until next week. We don't have to wait here until the Holy Spirit pours down on us and we're clothed with power from on high, because we already have the Holy Spirit. We've received the Holy Spirit. He's been given to us already. In holy baptism, we've received the Holy Spirit. By hearing the word, the Holy Spirit renews his strength in us. By coming to the table, the Holy Spirit feeds us in body and blood of Christ. We are fed, and the Holy Spirit strengthens that in us. In our epistle reading, Paul lists out a whole bunch of stuff that the Holy Spirit is going to do. And later, Luther sort of summed it all up in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed in your catechism. So, catechism quiz, pop quiz time. What are the things, according to Luther, in his explanation, that the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit, first, he does what? Calls, yes. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel. So when we hear the gospel read, when we see the gospel happening in here, then the Holy Spirit is calling us. And then next, he calls. He gathers the whole Christian church on earth and brings it all together. The Holy Spirit does that. And then Mary, what? He enlightens us with his gifts, meaning that he pours out his word into our ears and the boldness to speak the words of the gospel the Holy Spirit gives to us. So he calls, gathers, enlightens, and then sanctifies. He sanctifies us with the pure truth of the word. He makes us pure. Pure, we're not pure on our own. We've confessed that we are sinners in need of forgiveness and God's grace. And so the Holy Spirit does that. So he calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and lastly, he does what? Keeps. He keeps the Holy Christian Church in the Word and steadfast truth. And until Jesus returns, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And so that same Holy Spirit that the disciples were waiting for to pour down on them so that they could speak the words of the gospel has already been poured out on us. We've already received it. So we don't have to wait around here staring up at the sky. We don't have to wait around waiting for that power of the Holy Spirit to come. It's already here. We're already living in it. So then, as Jesus said to his disciples, we go. We share the gospel and forgiveness of sins and salvation in Christ with all of the ears that need to hear it, however they need to hear it. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he does his work in us, through us, around us, sometimes despite us. In Jesus' name, amen.